going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive, up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Thanks so much, Capital. It is the Going Deep podcast. And on this episode, to start, we're going to go all deep on a new streamer series on Apple TV Plus called Stick. Now, I'm sure you've heard about it. The hype was real, and it has lived up to the hype. It's starring Owen Wilson, who plays Price Cahill, a really over-the-hill ex-pro golfer who helps a troubled 17-year-old golf phenom, Santi, that's actually played by Peter Dagher, who we're going to speak to later on this episode, so stick around for that. And the best way to describe it is if Happy Gilmore and Ted Lasso had a baby, that would be Stick, essentially. It's a real nice, easy watch, half-hour episodes. But we're going to spend the next half hour or so getting to know some of the people who made it for you. And why don't we start with the creator, writer, executive producer, Jason Keller, who talked to me about how much of his own personal story, although not a former golfer turned caddy, but his own family story came through in this piece of work. Let's speak to Jason Keller to lead us off with our interviews with the team behind Stick.
Things were supposed to be different for me. I look in the mirror, I would not bet on that guy.
Although the divorce has been finalized, there's still the outstanding matter of the family home.
I object.
To what?
That's contempt.
We're not in a courtroom.
Okay, I feel like you guys are ganging up on me.
My chair's not as high as yours.
There's a tiny lever under it.
Can we just, like, please?
Court's adjourned.
We're not in court.
If you keep looking in the rear view, you're gonna swerve off the road. The question you gotta ask yourself is, what's next?
That was your rap dog?
That's all I got.
You're cupping your wrist a little bit.
Did you hear that?
I can barely hear you.
Wait right here, Mrs. Nussbaum. I'll be right back.
I found a kid who swings a golf club like a dream.
What's your name?
I'm not into older guys, but I'm flattered.
Hey, get out of here.
Who coached him?
His dad.
Why'd he stop playing?
His dad.
I'd like to try to qualify him for the U.S. Amateur Championship. I think he could win it all.
You don't need to cut the corner here.
Why go around when you can just go over?
Tell me you don't want to go on this trip.
I don't want to go on this trip.
Your mouth's saying one thing, but those eyes are saying something else.
Hey, Donovan, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks for doing this, and congratulations on a really comprehensive piece of art, I would say. A lot of themes throughout it. Where did the original idea come from?
That's a tough question, Donovan. I mean, you know, where these ideas come from is just sort of often, you know, multiple places. You know, certainly the character of Price was a character that that I had been kicking around for a number of years. The idea of a former sports star who wakes up sort of 25 years after his career to realize that he sort of missed his shot. That was always a character that was interesting to me. That I had sort of, I had tried to write versions of him, or he had shown up in different projects. So, but it wasn't until this show that I really sort of, you know, understood, you know, what I wanted to say in that character. So that's where it started, was the character of Price, and a guy who's, you know, 25 years way past his prime.
The character of Price, played by Owen Wilson so well, what was it like for you to collaborate with him both in front of camera and behind?
It was so much fun. It was, you know, Owen Wilson, the person, is such a unique, smart, you know, surprising, you know, human being to hang out with. You know, he's funny. He makes these really just, you know, surprising and strange connections between topics. You know, talking with Owen is like talking with Price. You know, I mean, it really, I can no longer, you know, I've become good friends with Owen, and, you know, we played golf yesterday. It is very difficult for me to interact with my friend Owen Wilson and not see Price Cahill. I mean, I can't sort of separate the two of them, because so much of Owen's personality has been infused into that character, you know. And he from the very beginning, he was very, you know, he was very willing to offer his input in terms of character and dialogue and witty turns of phrases and, you know, interesting ideas of how Price would, you know, consider something or look at a problem. I mean, just, you know, Owen Wilson is all over that character. It's been great fun.
You mentioned playing with Owen, and yeah. I imagine to be involved in the project at a baseline, there has to have been a prerequisite level of golf. I know personally that if you play on camera not well, the golf truthers will come for you. So making sure to get the culture, but also the level of play correct. What was that process like for you and your team?
Golf truthers. I like that phrase. That's a great phrase, Donovan. You're right. That was very important to all of us in the making of this show. And, you know, we spent a lot of time and focus making sure that, you know, golf fans and fanatics would, you know, hopefully watch our show and believe that we got it right. You know, I was constantly running, you know, ideas and the scripts past professional golfers at many different levels. We had a pro golfer on set with us before we started shooting that was, you know, watching every move we made when it came to golf culture and golf play in the show. This was a conversation that all of us, you know, we were just constantly making sure that all of that sort of rose to the level that we felt it needed to rise to. Are you a golfer, Donovan? Did you?
Not a good one.
Me either. But, you know, hopefully it passed your test. I mean, I'm curious if you felt it passed your test.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter if it passed my test, because you got buy-in from real golfers, right? The cameos you know, both in what I would argue the voice of golf in terms of play-by-play and also some players. Having that co-sign, but also being interact with that level of player, what was that like?
So much fun. Those guys were great, you know. You know, they're not actors. And when I asked them to be in the show, you know, they said yes, and I was very excited about it. But, you know, I didn't know how they were going to do in front of a camera reading lines from a script, you know. And they were so good. Like, I, of course, they were just, you know, naturals in front of the camera. So that was fun to watch them sort of have fun on the show, you know, playing themselves and delivering these lines. You know, between takes, they were, you know, everybody was sort of around them picking their brains, you know, about what it's like playing at that level. They were giving golf lessons to cast and crew and, you know, spectators watching the show between takes, which was, you know, anytime, you know, Keegan Bradley is, you know, showing you how to correctly chip, you know, onto a green, and you're just a regular human being, you know, who doesn't play golf. I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff. They were really sort of eager to participate at every level. It was fun. It was great. And they made it, you know, they would offer me changes to dialogue too. You know, they would say, oh, you know, I would maybe say this, or this phrase would be something that I would say, and you know, that kind of stuff is just gold when you're a writer, because it just makes it more authentic and feels more real, you know. So I owe those guys a lot. They were great.
Maybe new to golf storytelling, but not new to sports storytelling. Ford versus Ferrari. is become much more than a sports piece of content. For you, what opportunity, given that you've had success with it now, has sports been in using it as a canvas to tell greater stories?
Yeah, sports is inherently dramatic. You know, there's narrative in sports. If you watch a great basketball game, you know, we're watching the Indiana Pacers and the Knicks battle it out. You know, there is excitement, you know, at the beginning of a basketball game, and there's highs and lows, you know, and there's a third act that hopefully is a barn burner, and, you know, that goes for all sports, really. So it naturally lends itself to storytelling. That's why I love sports movies and sports, you know, shows, and why golf has been a fun way to tell a story, because in this show, because, you know, golf too is dramatic, you know.
Our Canadian audience is going to love the fact that, you know, Vancouver is the backdrop of some of the beautiful scenes. Take me through using that destination as a place to film this and adding to the personality what you're trying to accomplish.
I loved Vancouver so much. I miss it so much. I was up there for, you know, all last summer. And it's a beautiful city. The crew was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, I had 370 of just, I think, the best crew members anybody could hope for making this show up in Vancouver. You know, it was a beautiful time of year. You know, Donovan, we started in May, and so we just got those months up in Vancouver that were just so stunning. The weather was, you know, cooperative. And there were just, you know, there was just a warmth. There's a warmth in that city that I felt the whole time we were up there. And, you know, hopefully that translates into the show, but it's certainly, you know, I certainly felt it and loved it while I was up there.
Well, it certainly did, and I'm glad that the traditional Vancouver rain didn't rain on too many shoot days and rain on your parade, because the final product is really an outstanding piece of work. So congratulations, and I'm excited for all Canadians to be able to consume it and maybe inspire them to get on the course.
I love it. Donovan, pleasure to meet you. Thanks.
Thanks so much to Jason, and he talked about the high level of production in this series. Well, only right that we transition to a couple executive producers on the film. Ben Silverman and Guymon Cassidy are up next.
Thank you both for this beautiful piece of work and for spending the time. You are members of a really talented group of executive producers on the project, one of which is Owen Wilson. What was it like to collaborate with him and you share notes and tweaks with someone of his caliber in the industry?
Well, I mean, obviously, he's such a beloved actor and talent, and he's an incredible partner and creative force. And he really brought his talent to the, you know, not only on screen, but also to the set itself, where he was an amazing mentor to the younger actor who kind of he basically adopts in the series in a way as who he mentors. And he just has a unique and wonderful personality. He's a father and also really relates as a father to the relationship he forged in the show in character as well as out of character with the young actor. And I think the whole world is going to be excited to see Owen play Price Cahill and bring so much of his dimensionality to this wonderful performance and series.
You know, Ben, one of the beautiful things about some of your previous work, like The Office, is it really got the interpersonal connections and a bit of a different society within a society that happens in the workplace that we can all relate to. In a way, this does that with the golf course and the golf culture. What was it like to try to replicate that for people and find the humor and humility in that for people, whether they knew the sport well or they didn't?
Well, you know, talking to Sportsnet Canada, we shot in Canada, in Western Canada, home to some extraordinary golf courses in British Columbia. There is another Ben Silverman, who is the second most famous Ben Silverman, who is the great PGA golfer from Canada. So that also, whenever I do my own Google searches, which is what Hollywood people do all night long, we just continually are updating our Google searches to see if our fame is accrued. But the Ben Silverman, the golfer who I've gotten to know, who's there as well, will tell you there are so many similarities between golf and life, you know, and so much takes place on the golf course that reminds you of the rhythm of life. It's a longer game. It's 4 hours. And so a lot happens throughout the course of a play session. But it also is a game and a sport in which, you know, you have to overcome obstacles and you have to stay in the moment to actually achieve any greatness. And, you know, they say the most important club in your bag is between your ears. It's your brain, you know, because you have to stay steady and stay calm and kind of persevere through the curveballs that are thrown at you in the course of life, or also thrown at you in the course of a golf round. So I think for that, the Sportsnet audience who likes golf and likes sports in general, there's so much drama inside sport and you see so much connectivity. And I know you're focused on the Oilers right now, but you're going to be focused on Stick next week. Let's go.
Yeah, definitely the Vancouver fans who are not watching the Canucks play hockey are going to be excited to see their beautiful golf courses displayed on Apple TV. You know, a lot of what you said in terms of that game of golf and life, and it tracks, I imagine, for an actor in terms of the game between the years. Gaiman, I wonder, you've worked with the biggest in the industry, Meryl Streep, Halle Berry, Jason Bateman, Jennifer Aniston. Owen and Marc Maron aside, what was it like for you on this project to work with some younger actors looking to make their name, and what challenge but also opportunity did that present?
So one of the things that we were most fortunate about was that Owen was our absolute first choice to play Price. And the combination of Owen and Mark, we think, is magic, and hope audiences agree. What is maybe less known was that we actually saw over 600 actors for the Santi role before we saw our beloved Peter, who we all immediately knew was Santi. So it was an extraordinary search to find him, and as we know, he hasn't worked he hasn't worked as much as Owen has, but Owen really, as Ben said, was a great mentor to him. And as nervous as he was on the first day, he very, very quickly found his rhythm. And it was a really wonderful thing to see. And then Lily was one of 900 actors we saw for that role. So again, it was not an easy search. Sometimes, as was the case with Owen, who was our first choice, as was the case with Mark, who was our first choice, those other roles required a much more expansive search, and yet there was when we found her, we all knew, and that was sort of a very, very it was a great, great experience to have found them both.
That sounds exhausting. Talking to 1,500 people for two roles, it makes me want to stick to the documentary storytelling where the subjects are somewhat self-evident. You know, Ben, you've had great success, obviously, in that space with Untold. Apple has had great success with a little known show called Ted Lasso in terms of using sports as a way to have these conversations. And certainly this will look to do the same. Why do you think audiences, specifically at this time and place, resonate with sports stories, whether they're scripted or whether they're documentaries?
Well, both Gaiman and I are big sports fans, big sports players. Gaiman is raising champion pickleball players as we speak. I'm raising a champion golfer as we speak, as parents, and we love to compete. I actually was thinking, if there was a ping pong table anywhere around us, Gaiman and I would be sweating and screaming and killing each other, because I am the spider, just so you know, because I lure you in my ping pong life. But there is no question, you know, sport is an incredible dramatic showcase, right? You know, there are so many highs, so many lows, so intense. It's really part of our DNA somewhere. You know, it goes back thousands of years in how sports were integrated into human culture and human society. And I and Guymon both share a love of sport. And we see those metaphors. We see those similes. We see that drama. And I think more and more people, boys and girls alike, are you know, not only playing sport and participating in sports, but kind of relate to those storylines and really connect to them. And it's a great tableau to go deep into emotion, because you have those emotions as you play and as you watch. And I think it translates as a backdrop.
Yeah. And I think, you know, each of these characters starts the series at a place where their personal circumstances, you know, they've had whatever challenges that they've had, but they come together and go on this journey. And part of that journey is to realize their own potential, and not only Santi on the golf course, but for each of them. So we think that the show, and we hope audiences will agree, is more expansive. The sports, obviously, there's a great sports story, but as Ben says, a great metaphor for all of these themes that these characters are struggling with, navigating, and working through.
You said go deep and expansive, and you have the ability to do that over the course of 10 episodes. I wonder, as storytellers of various platforms and formats, the choice to go, you know, with episodic rather than, you know, something that's maybe more long form in a movie, and the choice to go weekly versus something that people could have all at one time and binge. What were the thoughts around those calculated decisions that made sense for this story in this way?
Well, I'll answer the first part and maybe hand it to you to answer the last. Jason, as you know, started off as a movie writer and has spent most of his career writing big movies like Ford versus Ferrari and the other movies he's written. This is his first foray into television. And I think for him, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, his father was the inspiration for this particular story, for the Price Cahill character. And his father, who was a pro baseball player, and had his own career cut short. And that was the inspiration for wanting to take that character inspired by his father and exploring that character over hours and seasons of television. And I think on this particular story, he didn't feel like that could be explored as deeply, as complexly as he hoped that he will have the opportunity to explore him.
And I think the way that television is delivered now, and I would say very specifically in the Apple sphere as well, it's very cinematic. Like, you're not limited in how you can tell the story. We're on location, we're using practical sets, we're on a golf course shooting this. We have thousands of extras. We have a lot of the kind of filmic techniques playing out in this beautiful television show with these incredible characters. And the choice of how to release these is always a little bit of a, you know, some people drop them all at once, like Netflix. Sometimes, like Apple's doing, they'll drop a sequence of a couple of episodes and then two at a time. If it's a drama, they'll do one at a time. I think one thing about this show, and you have had the great privilege to watch it ahead of your friends and fans here, is as you start watching, you don't want to stop watching. It does have one of those you know, those environments and those kind of character sets that you want to keep going deeper into the world and connecting more and more. So we want to give you just enough to satisfy you, but to ensure that you come back again. And I think also the quality of this show means that we want a word of mouth to grow. We want you to tell your friends you saw it and you loved it. And so we want to give a little time so that you're all caught up at the same time to be able to talk about it and connect on it and share stories related to the show. And so I think hopefully this strategy, which our partners have led and came up with, is the most effective one to drive the biggest audience to something that Guymon and I know is special.
But Apple, you know, Apple, the incredible Apple TV Plus, and all of our friends at Apple gave us the resources to make what we would consider a 10-hour first season movie. So as Ben says, I don't think of it as television. We think of it as a great immersive experience, characters who go on this journey, and we hope audiences will be endlessly entertained.
Well, it is, and your prediction is correct, because when I started watching, I didn't want to stop. I had the benefit of screeners, so I didn't have to. Our audience will have to, so that's going to be cruel and unusual punishment for them. The punishment for me is that I can't say anything about it like you're discussing. I can't talk about it with my friends, not yet. But it's been great to be able to get the insight to talk about it with you, and I'm looking forward to our country here in Canada, both seeing some of our courses, but seeing a really great story. So congrats once again, and thank you.
Thank you.
Love to Canada.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Thanks so much to Ben and Guymon, and they talked about the level of actors they worked with. So only right that we tie a bow on our conversation on Stick with a couple of those young actors. Lily Kay plays Zero. Now, if you think you've heard the name, or you certainly will recognize the face and voice, Lily Kay was outstanding in Your Honor, a great crime drama starring and produced by Bryan Cranston. And her partner in this series is Peter Daigle, who, essentially outside of Owen Wilson, is the star of it and plays Santi, the outstanding young golfer. Let's talk to Peter and Lily right now.
Peter, I'll start with you.
Talk to me.
The level of pressure of getting the golf on point and right, when you know the internet would come for you, the golf truthers would come for you, what was that like?
Donovan, that's an awesome question. It was less pressure about what others had to say. It was more internal pressure because when I first started training, I was so bad and I felt so bad. Like my elbow was tucked out. I was going outside in. I wasn't going inside out. I just felt bad. And I'm like, how can I play the next Tiger Woods, possibly a prodigy, and feel so bad? It was more of a feeling. I needed to feel like it was a fluid swing in order for me to even sort of have a bit of the confidence that Santi had. And so when I was working, the pressure was to feel easy. It needed to feel accessible. The swing needed to feel easy. I needed to feel reliable on the golf course. And I saw that the more I trained, the more I felt good. And I felt so good that some of my swings are actually in the show. And it just makes everything easier to play. It's my actual confidence. I don't have to act confident. It's just something that I now know about myself that I can stripe a ball every so often. And so, it was less pressure for other people. It was more for myself. But yes, I know that the internet is merciless sometimes, and I did not want to be a meme. No, I did not. Yeah, she makes fun of me already, so.
I'm not making fun of you. No, he's incredible. It's actually like he's being very humble about it, but he is really extraordinary, and getting to watch him grow in his ability as a player over the course of production was really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun challenge. Got to rise up to those.
Speaking of confidence and feeling easy in the role, Lily, I can't think of seeing another gender fluid character in a story at this level for being in it, but also being collaborative and what that would look like. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing. It was something where I think that there is not a lot of that on television right now. And I hope that there will be more. I think writers who don't have that lived experience tend to shy away from it. And I think this process was so collaborative. Jason and Chris and the whole room, everybody was really, really invited me into it, and also was very sort of from the jump, like before I even had the job, we're already sort of going, where does this exist for you? How do you relate to this? And how can we incorporate that into the storytelling? And that was such a gift. It very rarely happens. So yeah, I feel really lucky and really honored, and I hope that people can see themselves a little represented there.
No question. You both are steadily making your names in the industry, and you get to work with Owen Wilson, who's done it. Your best Owen Wilson story in terms of working with him in front of behind the camera, what was it like?
What's yours? Man. I want to know.
Okay, I got a story. It's not really in front of the camera. It's more so behind the camera. I wonder if you'll mind me sharing it. But one day, it was sort of the beginning of... Yeah, I'm going to share this one. It was the beginning of still the shooting process, and we were 2 weeks in, maybe a week in, and I was still sort of nervous. Owen one day, I'm telling you, it was so early on, he just kind of, I just hear a voice in between a setup, and he's like, Peter. And I look and I see it's Owen. And he's like, come here. And I just go over to him, and he was like, look at that tree. And I look over it. We're out in a, on a golf course shooting, and I look at the tree. And I go, yeah, what's up? And he goes, just look at it. Look how it moves. And I was just like, yeah. And I share that story because Owen is present. He's mm-hmm. a present human being. He's receptive to everything, and he loves to surrender to the moment. Yeah. That's why he's so impulsive. He's so good at...
Sensitive.
He's so sensitive, but he's also so good at coming up with words and lines and funny things in the moment because he's receptive to the moment. He's never, like you said, shying away from it.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite story. One of my favorite stories is just, I was like, what is this guy doing looking at the tree? And then it clicked, like, man, he finds beauty in everything, in every small thing now. Mm. That's the beautiful part about that man.
Yeah. And yeah. he's also just a joy. Like he's has that sort of gravity, and he also has an incredible playfulness. And I think so many of my favorite moments with him were sort of on both ends of that spectrum, yeah. where his sort of real love for the work, love for, you know, little beautiful things like yeah. that, but also these moments, you know, he's driving around in the golf cart and hollering at you and, yeah, and yeah. going like, try to catch me, I'm getting out of here. And the yeah, crew's yeah, going,
yeah.
Owen!
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's really, I think we were all kind of insurance liabilities actually with the golf cart. But yeah, he's a treasure and truly an icon, and it's such a joy to work with.
Yeah.
Well, that tree and the nature and beauty was in Vancouver in the Canadian yeah. audience.
Yeah, maybe shout out to Canada.
Hour. Canada.
Come on.
Well, and what was that experience like being in Van, being in Canada?
We had so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. We loved Vancouver. Food mm-hmm. in Vancouver.
Whew. Food in Vancouver. What's going on? What is going
Come on? Yeah,
food everything in Vancouver. You could ever wish for yeah, in Vancouver.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
All we did
there.
Was eat. Yeah. It was really. We were so, because we were working so hard, and then we'd have, you know, one night off, and we would just. We would
yeah, no, but okay. All we did was eat.
All we
no,
did was eat.
We ate good. But the scenery, the nature out yeah. there is gorgeous. The people are very kind. I think a bit more just closed off. You know, everyone has their own circle, but when you do reach out, people are really kind over there. I can't attest to the rest of Canada because I haven't been. Into the towards coast. The middle of it or to the yeah. to the east side. But out west in Vancouver, there's so many lovely people, places to yeah. be. The weather was great in that pocket that we were there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple months that are just so lovely out there.
Yeah.
And yeah,
the nature is extraordinary.
I love it out there.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed it out there.
We had a great time.
Beautiful country.
Mm-hmm. When you weren't eating, evidently.
I really overthought of it.
I really.
Come on.
You were being surrounded by. Some huge cameos, especially yeah. in the golf world. Yeah. What was that like to have the level of star power and cosign for the production?
It only incredible. Made the whole experience. It's you're lucky when mm-hmm. you're making something and you're, I mean, it starts with the writers, right? With yeah. an imagination, with a story, with themes, with ideas. Then they get pen or mm-hmm. gets put onto paper or nowadays mm-hmm. on computers. And then you get people that put money behind it, and you get the actors, and it's this whole process. And then when you get to actually making the thing that you conceptualized or that the writers did at first, you just want it to feel real while you're making it. And then when those golfers, when those pros showed up, and we had Morikawa chipping, and all the people, like all the background, just like so excited, and we Owen and I would compete with Morikawa. It all started to feel very real.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think it adds a level of or strips away a level of artifice. Like, I think for you, I mean, you're literally playing with Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you don't have to imagine that. That's what's happening.
Yeah, he would give us chipping lessons, and it was just, it was
crazy.
An absolute joy. And they were so lovely. So when they showed up, it became real.
Yeah, I didn't get to meet Max Homa, and I was really sad because I love him, but that.
Max, come on.
Season
great,
two.
Max. You're amazing. Come
Season
do more,
two.
Please.
So, removing the people from the PGA card before I let you go, I need to know who's the best player on the cast. Like, if money's on the table,
oof, that's
it's
tough.
It's so you. No, don't even be. Oh, it's tough. You're It's Peter.
I think I might look the best, but Owen's
really good.
Owen has an incredible short game.
That's true. I haven't seen his.
And he plays good and he stripes the ball well. Marc Maron's also a sleeper.
He is a sleeper. He's a sleeper.
Yeah.
He's really low-key good.
Now, Lily.
My short game's okay. My short game's okay.
No.
My long game's
short game is good. Short
My long game good. Needs work.
Crazy putter here.
So I am actually you are a good pretty putter. Good putter.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I love the intel. I also love the confidence. And I love the series. So I'm so excited for Canadians, not just to see Vancouver, not just to see you guys eat, but you guys on the course playing well at a high level. It's a really, really beautiful piece of work. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for watching it. And it's lovely to hear that you enjoyed it. Seriously.
Yeah.
First three episodes came out right away. And then it's been week to week. But no matter when you're listening to this, it is worth consumption. And if you aren't sold yet, we're going to talk about it a little bit more. So my and Show's review of Stick after this. Stay with us.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson is a show.
And I'm so happy that you are listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Grandma and Granddad. It is Going Deep podcast. We're going deep on all things Stick, as you've heard earlier. Stars Owen Wilson is Price Cahill. I would dub it a sports comedy series, if you will, but it's really heartfelt. It's feel-good family story based off of the relationships within a family, both literal family, but also chosen family, and also relationships in and around golf course. Real cool ensemble cast. You heard from some of them. Marc Maron also plays a big role in it, not just a podcast host, also a pretty good actor himself as he plays Mitz. If I had to categorize this series, I would call it a warm glass of milk. So
is that a good thing?
I mean, I don't generally drink my milk warm. I like it cold.
Okay.
But I think most people would say that's a net positive. In that the sense of, listen, I don't know about you. There are so many choices on what to consume. It's overwhelming at times. And I do not have the same amount of disposable time to consume content as I did when I was younger. And when you're making those choices late at night, sometimes you just want something that's nice, it's light, I don't have to overthink it, it's not forced, it's not a disastrous, you know, docu-series, it's a true crime thing that's going to give me or my wife nightmares. It's not, you know, directly related to what's going on in the world right now, which is going to essentially make me have a, you know, existential crisis at the end of the night. It's just very easy and smooth. How did you find it?
No, I'm with you. I think ultimately I'm kind of with you in the same way. You know, when I come home from work after a Jays game, and my wife is the kind of person who falls asleep by 11:30 at the absolute latest. So, you know, we're always trying to find something really easy to watch that where you don't have to really exercise your brain. And also, to be fair, something that's also not particularly long either, right? There are a lot of things that are like really good. Lots of really good TV out there, but where every episode's like 45 minutes plus, and I just don't have the time for that, honestly. So I think Stick, it's funny too, because before we ended up talking to Apple TV for you to have all those chats, I remember I saw the trailer on YouTube somewhere, on the Apple TV YouTube channel. And I remember thinking like, oh, like I don't even really care about golf all that much, period. But Owen Wilson in this like Happy Gilmore, Ted Lasso-ish role, like you explained, I thought, you know what? I'm in. Like I'm generally speaking an Owen Wilson fan. And to your point about it being very cozy, I think it felt very much like the Ted Lasso version of the story, but like in the world of golf. Now, there's some sad aspects to it, no question, right? I actually think it's like far sadder than Ted Lasso, just in terms of like Price's backstory and what led him to this point in his life. But I got to say, I really liked it. I don't know how far you've watched, because we've gotten the screeners from Apple TV. I've watched the entire first season. I watched from beginning to end. I binge watched it, which was kind of fun. Actually, I haven't done that in a while. But I'm not sure if you've finished the season yet.
I have not finished it yet.
Okay.
But I will say, I am... It is, I after just saying it's an easy watch, it's calm and, cozy and cuddly, I do find myself, and maybe it's because in some ways we might be alike, I find myself invested in Owen Wilson's character. So I'm not sure if this is because maybe I'm somewhat like him. And after I just said it's a warm, cozy, and cuddly watch, I do find myself invested in Stick's character and getting increasingly more stressed for him and with him in various parts of the series. But I know of Owen Wilson's general comedy work, and he's been good in some great ensembles. I wasn't sure I was ready for 10 episodes of Owen Wilson, but he comes off as very likable, relatable, and I think most importantly, funny, both intentionally and sometimes unintentionally.
Yeah, I think Owen Wilson as the lead character of Stick, I think, is the thing that works about this show the most. And I think, and again, I'm going to continue using the Ted Lasso comparison because that's one of the more successful shows of the last however many years, certainly. But I think one of the aspects that made you like Ted Lasso so much, at least for me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that it wasn't just Ted that you liked. It was all the other side characters and their interplay, right? Like, you, even if Ted wasn't in a scene, you would watch Roy and any of the other characters interact with one another, and you'd feel like sometimes warm and fuzzy, but you'd feel like you're getting something out of it, whether it's like they're moving the plot along or whether they're having interesting, funny things to say to one another. I do think that is true with this show as well. You mentioned Marc Maron, who I think is my next favorite character. I've never actually listened to his podcast, first of all, so maybe that's on me. Funnily enough, I think I saw in the news the other day that he's like sunsetting the podcast, which is kind of funny considering I think like in the world, in like the lifetime of podcasts as a format, it's like one of the oldest running podcasts, I think, to this day. So I guess he's starting to move on to other things. Maybe Stick, maybe Stick season two. I guess we'll see. But I think like his gruff shtick as like Stick's former caddy is one of my favorite aspects of the whole show. And it's interesting to see when you learn about his character, when you learn about Santi and what makes him tick as this like young, somewhat abrasive teenager. When you learn when Zero joins the crew, and she's not in it right away, but she does join it a little bit later on. Santi's mother, Elena, big part of it as well. And then you get the kind of little ragtag group that is traveling for these golf tournaments. And I gotta say, it was a very enjoyable watch. I do think if they do make a season two, and I hope they do, because I did really enjoy it, I do hope we get more on the side characters. You know, like I think I learned enough about Stick. He was an excellent golfer in his heyday. Like, there was a great montage in the very first episode where he's like getting high and he's looking through all of his past accomplishments, and he's like, it's like framed newspaper clippings and stuff like that, and it's like, when's the Masters, when the US Open, they talk a lot about him being on the American Ryder Cup team, and he has a Ryder Cup ring, right? So he clearly was like at one point one of the best golfers on planet Earth, right? So I think we've learned a lot about him and about his backstory and his ex-wife, who he's still friends with, but I would like to learn a little bit more about the other characters. They give like they tease you like just enough, I would say, that it leaves you wanting more. I didn't love everything. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, it's the first season. It's finding its voice. But I liked enough of it that I do hope we get more of it.
Yeah, and what I'd say, especially, I think the best example of this would be Marc Maron's character Mitz, but it's true for many of them. Is they're generally likable, but let's say even if you don't love all of them, you know someone like that, or you know what that character represents, and you can understand and have empathy and see their viewpoint. And even if those viewpoints are diametrical opposites, you know, Zero in many ways and you heard Lily talk about it as this, young, progressive person is different than, Mark Maron's character of Mitz, who is old, set in his ways, kind of cranky, curmudgeon, that type of thing. And there's reasons why they are the way they are.
I did really like the interplay between their characters in particular. Like Zero interacting with all the other characters, pretty fun, certainly with Santi, because they're the love interests, right? Mark Maron with the other adults and so on. But their characters interacting with each other, I think genuinely might have been some of the best scenes in the entire show. Because, I'm not saying this as in a negative fashion at all, but Zero's character uses they-them pronouns and, uses a lot of words like, previous generations being too ascribed to capitalism and all these different things. Whereas Mark Maron comes from a generation that, is typically, really, if not against it, at least doesn't understand it. And seeing their two perspectives clash, I think, I actually, laughed out loud at a number of their interactions, especially in one very climactic moment where I think they finally find some common ground midway through the season, or maybe even towards the end of the season. But it's, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's definitely one of the better scenes, I think, of all 10 episodes.
Well, I did say it is a show that, gives you a break from all of the chaos that's going on in your timeline and, in your newsfeed, but in a way, representing those two characters, they did give you a social commentary on the very, polarized viewpoints that we can generally have, and how there could be scenarios where two things can be true, and also how, the people who are obviously diametrical opposites can find some common ground and some resolution. As you mentioned, the other thing I loved about it was I loved that it was shot in Canada, and my West Coast golf course IQ is not the highest, so I didn't necessarily know what I was watching all the time. But I loved the fact that in the back of my mind, I was watching all these scenes, being like, "Oh man, is that Whistler?" it was really cool to see BC represented.
Are you a big golfer, generally?
I mean, I'm currently wearing a golf shirt, so I mean that in my mind categorizes me as a golfer. But no, I'm not a big golfer at all. I like the idea of golf more than I actually like golf.
Okay, that's fair. No, I was just curious. I also am not the world's biggest golfer. It's funny because my dad is honestly one of the biggest golf fans you'll ever meet. Honestly, he loves cricket and golf. Those are his two favorite sports. And I think it's funny because I'm sure he feels that it's his great failing as a sports dad, that the two sports I honestly might care about the least are cricket and golf. And to be fair, he also really likes basketball and football, and I really got into those at a young age, but just for whatever reason, I never got into those two sports, especially golf. The greatest memories of watching sports with my dad on the couch was watching Vijay Singh win the Masters, and then certainly later on Tiger. So I think it's funny to come around, because I wasn't 100% sure, because I'm not a huge fan of golf, I wasn't 100% sure that I would like this. And I got to say, it's a really enjoyable watch. I was actually chatting with one of our colleagues here at The Fan, Andrew Holland, who is the Fan pregame board op, right? And Andrew started working here at The Fan just after I did, so he and I have become friends, and I've learned he's a massive golfer, huge golf guy. And I asked him before you did the interviews with the members of the cast and crew, I asked him what he thought, and he loved it. He actually really liked it. So I do think for people, to use Andrew and my conversation as an anecdotal experience, I do think if you are a golf fan, you are probably predisposed to liking something like this. But from my experience, and I would say probably a little bit from your experience too, even if you're not the world's biggest golfer, this is something you can enjoy as well. I will say, if I have one criticism of it, it is simply that if you watch a lot of TV, you probably can guess the plot twists. You know what I mean? I'm not, I don't, and again, maybe it's not the kind of show that's like Game of Thrones-esque, that's, you know, designed to like subvert your expectations and really shock you, for example. But, and I know Game of Thrones is based on a book series, but still, like, it's not that kind of show. But I will say, I think I guessed, I'm not saying I'm some kind of phenom here, but I guessed every single plot twist right up until the end of the season, and I still really enjoyed it. So maybe that's like a very light criticism. I do hope it's a little less formulaic maybe in season two.
I was watching through that lens as well. I will say, though, for our general listener, we also watch and consume a lot of TV.
We do.
And a lot of scripted series of this ilk. So there's only so many beats, I suppose, that you can kind of play. Unless you are doing, you know, some sort of like whodunit where,
right.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know, I never thought of that suspect, right? Like that type of thing. But it was a good watch.
I do think, too, this is my last point on it, really. I do think, to go back to the Ted Lasso comparison, I think one bit of Ted Lasso that you generally get satisfaction out of is watching Ted win. You know what I mean? Like he wins. Like he and I know the end of the first season they get relegated, but like the general idea that he like wins over these people to his cause or his side, and then eventually, like by the end of the show, they like largely it's about him winning, whether it's in his personal life or the players winning, the team, the Rebecca, so on, right? And I think for the first like half of the season, I'm not sure we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of it for Santi. I'm not sure we see a lot of it for like Price Cahill, Stick himself, which is funny because like he's the titular character. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, like you said, Santi is the show's like effectively he's the driving force behind everything that happens in the show. But Stick is the show's protagonist, right? So I think you do want to see him like win to a certain extent. And again, I don't know how far you've gotten, but there is a moment where he runs into like a former PGA Tour player from his past, who's portrayed in the show by Timothy Oliphant, and who've always really enjoyed. But he's like he's like as close as the series comes to like having a quote unquote bad guy, I would say. And there's a moment where like I think he wins effectively, like Price wins. And I think it's the first part of the show where I thought, like, F yeah, this is sick. This is what I want to see. I do want to see Santi winning, but I also really want to see Owen Wilson, this washed up golfer, win as well.
Well, maybe it's because I am in too many golf pools, but I viewed every time that Price Cahill won a bet him winning. so there were some incremental wins along the way, even though they may have not been wins for his soul. But no, it was a really good watch. Stick, it's out now. Apple TV Plus, give it a watch.
Before we go, I'm just going to play one thing for you from the show, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
We have Sadie Flores from Sportsnet. Right now, she's doing a piece on the Academy.
Sportsnet? What the f*** is Sportsnet?
I think that might be my favorite part of the show. That's the best part of the show, I think.
Yes, we should have that as a drop across the radio station and just play that in various times in different shows.
I really enjoyed Stick. I do hope there's a season two. It ends in a way where, like, if they don't make another season, like, I think you've gotten at least one, like, interesting chapter in this man's life. But they also ended in a way where, like, they could easily make more if they want to. So I feel like Apple TV typically makes at least two seasons of shows. So I think we will get it eventually, as long as, I guess, Owen Wilson wants to, I suppose. But it was a pretty fun watch.
Well, we normally hear, while the first season is being aired, whether it's coming back for season two. So continue to consume, continue to talk about it, and we'll get more of it. And hopefully it'll be shot somewhere in Canada once again. The other takeaway was just the opening promo trailer before the series even started. If you're, you know, watching on Apple TV Plus and not watching, you know, press screeners like us, you see in one place how much high-level content Apple has produced. And maybe just because people naturally just go to Netflix as a default, or, you know, Amazon Prime is a little bit louder with their promotions. But just seeing it all in one place, I was like, oh, yeah, like, there's a lot of solid series that have come out of Apple, and maybe, you know, they're a bit more spread out and timely, but I it was a reminder of very quickly in the content business how quickly they've caught up.
It's true, yeah. You want a recommendation for a fun, silly watch? It's a show starring Alexander Skarsgård, based on a book series called Murderbot. It just started coming out. Like, I think it's just started airing, like, maybe a couple weeks ago.
It's already second or third on the rankings.
It's really funny. It's a comedy. It's about this, like, android that, you know, is sentient and people don't realize he's sentient. It's quite funny. You should give it a watch.
Yeah, I believe last I checked, it was second to Stick. That was one. And even though it's been out for a while, Ted Lasso still up there in the top five. So lots of great stuff on Apple to consume. Obviously, people love Severance as well. And as long as they put out sports content, we'll continue to cover it. So stay tuned. And thanks for listening.
What the f*** is Sportsnet?